38. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, when you have prepared in the sight of all nations a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem.
And now I'd like to invite Martin to come and speak to us. Thank you.
Well, it's good to be here with you, Martin, from down the road, from the A34. I've lived on the A34 or near the A34 for most of my life. And I've been spending a little bit of time with your deacons over the last few weeks, and that's been a real privilege. They are a really lovely bunch of people and very sincere, and I've got the heart of God on their hearts. And so that's been it's been a really lovely process for me. And it's been great for me to be thinking about how can I come and encourage the church? And so on my mind is, we're in Advent season. What does Advent mean particularly for the church, your church, at this time? And within that, what might it mean for us individually as well? How can we grab a hold of the meaning of Advent, the as we're waiting for the arrival of Christ? And we're now waiting for the arrival of Christ to come again. And in the process, we're waiting for the kingdom of God to keep on coming on the earth. What does that mean for us? Now, the reading we just heard, I know it's slightly out of joint because Jesus is already born in the reading. Think, oh, why have you chosen that reading? Well, I chose it because there's two people there in that reading who had been really waiting for the arrival of the Christ. And they've been waiting, I guess, the nature of them, the age of them, and the fact that they're these very devout people. You imagine they had been waiting in that story of leading up to the birth of Jesus as well. Even then, their hearts would have been prepared. Finally, they get to this point when Jesus is presented in the temple of, oh my goodness, here he is, and their waiting is fulfilled. And a thing struck me about this this passage. It's a phrase or a word that is in the, well, it occurs twice, actually. And for Simeon, it says, he was righteous, devout, and in one translation, eagerly waiting. There's a kind of waiting that is, there's something about that waiting that's eager. Then later on, it talks about Anna, and she's there, she's been in the temple all this time. And then it says, she went and told everyone about Jesus. Everyone who was, again, waiting expectantly, it says in this version that I'm reading from. But it's the same word, eagerly waiting, or anxiously waiting, or waiting expectantly. And the word that is written down in our Bibles in the Greek is prosdekomai. Dekomai means welcome, receive. And actually, it's something I've looked at in terms of our church and how we want to welcome people. I've noticed in the book of Acts, there's plenty of welcoming going on, plenty of receiving going on. And when we receive people into our homes, or when people receive us into their homes, then something special happens. Now, this kind of receiving, this sort of welcoming, is even more intense. It's more personal. It's a receiving right to ourselves. And so there's Simeon, and he is waiting expectantly for himself to receive something. That kind of waiting. And Anna, I guess, was waiting like that as well. That's why she's in the temple all this time. And then she goes and finds other people who are waiting with expectation. It's that kind of waiting. Or elsewhere in the Bible, anxiously waiting. That sounds a little bit negative, but it's not a negative anxiety. It's I'm looking for something. We as a church are looking for something. And for Simeon, the way that he was waiting, we see that he was he's filled with the Spirit. The Spirit of God is on him. How wonderful. There's a lot of work of the Spirit of God in Luke's gospel in these early chapters. The Holy Spirit is on him. And then it says, led by the Spirit, he finds himself in the temple just at the right time. Mary, Joseph, Jesus. The Spirit is on him. He's led by the Holy Spirit. And then what happens is, his waiting is fulfilled. For Anna, she's got a similar attitude. Doesn't talk about her being filled with the Spirit in the same way or led by the Spirit. Actually, it says that she is in the temple every single day. So she's worshiping, she's fasting, and she's praying. And just at the time that Simeon had Jesus in his arms, was blessing him, Anna is there. Just the right time, right place, right time. Oh my goodness, her being fulfilled. And I love this because what it says to me is there's something about an attitude of waiting with expectation in the Holy Spirit that is incredible for us in our humanity. Really, really incredible. And I realize that this is how I want to be. And when I am like this, I'm not like this all the time. But there are moments in my life and there are seasons in my life when I know that actually in my waiting, in my expectancy, in my longing for the kingdom of heaven to come, there are moments when actually my attitude is good. And in those moments, that's when I know the Holy Spirit is around. He's in my heart. He's over me. He's connecting me with other people or with other situations. I get a sense of his plans and his strategies and his purposes and me being part of them as well. I love living like that. I love living like that. And I know that the plan and purpose of God is for every human being on the planet to live like that. To live so that, just like Jesus lived, actually, that there he's in the power of the Holy Spirit, or he's led by the Spirit. He's anointed by the Holy Spirit. To live like that, sensitively, with a great heart attitude. And then when our attitude is right and we're putting into practice some of these things that Anna was putting into practice, we're praying, we're fasting, we're worshiping, we're looking for God, we're keeping our ears open to him, we're studying the word and going, what are you saying to me today, God? In those practices that then feed our heart attitude, what happens is our eyes are opened to what God is doing on the earth. And when your eyes are open to what God is doing on the earth, you go, oh my goodness, he's doing a lot. And I'm in the middle of this. And I want to encourage you as a church that actually this is a wonderful opportunity for you to be waiting with expectation, to be waiting eagerly. Here you are, you're in this place that Baptists love to call the interregnum, which I remember I was brought up in a Baptist church. And people used to use that word all the time. I never. It sounded like some weird medical procedure. I never really knew what it really meant. But you're waiting. You're waiting. How do you wait as a church? That's what I'd like to encourage you with. But also, how do you wait as a child of God? What does it mean to wait with expectation? What does it mean to long for the kingdom of heaven? What's it mean to be moved by the Spirit? And when you're moved by the Spirit, to find yourself in a conversation or in a situation that is just you are in the right place at the right time. That is a fantastic way of living for us individually, and it's a great way for the church to be. Now, this word, prostekamai, it crops up in other places, but interestingly, it crops up at the other main waiting Advent kind of idea. Is we're waiting for Christ to be born, but what Jesus talked about wasn't necessarily himself being born. It was about him coming again, the fullness of the kingdom of heaven. Looking for the kingdom, waiting for the kingdom. And in Luke's gospel, he tells a story about this. Same word appears. It says this, be dressed for service, gird your loins, it's that. Keep your lamps burning. As though you were waiting, this is the comparison, same word. As though you were waiting, that's waiting eagerly, waiting with expectation, for your master to return from the wedding feast. Then you'll be ready to open the door and let him in the moment he arrives and knocks. The servants who are ready and waiting, this is a different one, being alert and awake, that's what that means, for his return will be rewarded. I tell you the truth. He himself will seat them, put on an apron, and serve them as they sit and eat. He may come in the middle of the night or just before dawn, but whenever he comes, he will reward the servants who are ready. This is Jesus talking about how we should live. Now that he has been born, now that he has lived, he's been crucified, and he's been raised from the dead, and he's ascended on high, how do we live? He says, live like this. Live as if you're waiting with expectation at a party, and the groom is going to come back. You're just waiting for him to open the door, and this party will begin. And then, my goodness, the way this works is, and you will be the guests at this party. He's going to come and serve you. That's amazing. In another version of this story that Matthew tells, Jesus obviously tells a number of these stories in different ways. He talks about women, and talks about some bridesmaids. And there's 10 of them. Five of them, they're all waiting, but five of them are have got their lamps. Have your lamps ready? You know they're burning, and there's oil in the lamps. And five of them haven't got enough oil in their lamps, and so they're all waiting for this bridegroom, and he's not coming. And it's getting later and later and later, and eventually they all fall asleep. And there's a knock on the door, and they wake up and get your lamps ready. Now these five who are not ready, they haven't got enough oil. Oh no, our lamps aren't lit. And so they go to the other five, give us some oil. And the others go, no, we've got ready. We're here ready. You need to go and find your own oil. There's a comparison there between those who are ready, those who are kind of living with expectation, those who are kind of working on it. It's alive. It's real for them. The waiting isn't just a kind of, one day we'll get a new minister, I guess, next year or the year after. Or Liz was saying she hoped to get a minister by the end of this month. We'll just kind of wait around. Or is there a waiting that is an active kind of waiting? Where you like Simeon, you're working on your heart, on your attitude. Or like Anna, you're active in prayer, you're active in reading the Bible, you're active in worship. There's an activity to do with the waiting. And so Jesus says, keep your lamps burning. If you're going to keep your lamps burning, you're going to have enough oil for your lamps. You have to be watching it, prepared, working on it. That's how Jesus says, as we're waiting for the kingdom of heaven. Now, the kingdom of heaven is expressed in all sorts of different ways on our earth. Through the church, but I see the kingdom of heaven breaking through in all kinds of different ways and different people. But you know what? For this church, the kingdom of heaven, the rule and reign of Jesus in this church, through this church, for the sake of the neighborhood and your family and your friends and your colleagues, that's important. That's really important. Because actually this church is a lamp and it is a light. This church is a church that does need to be fed by the Holy Spirit so you can burn really brightly, because this church will have a massive impact on people, on your neighborhood, on this area, on the university, on the hospital, on all the workplaces, on all the schools, on the council, on businesses. Beyond that as well, to those people who, these partners you have across the world. It's important to take waiting really seriously. So how are you going to wait? How are you going to wait? And so here's a few things. Run just waiting around, and let's hope the deacons do their job and find the right kind of person or whatever. Here's a few ideas. What has been growing among you? What's been the vision so far? I've come here, and I came a few times when you were in another building, but I heard all about this, you know, what had happened here. The last few years for you sound to me like they've been extraordinary, really extraordinary. It's been good. What has been growing among you? What has been happening? Look at what you've done. Look at what has happened. It's extraordinary. And so part of the waiting is, this has been what's happened. We're not going to put this on hold, God. You've been working among us. There is something good here. And so I'd encourage you to carry on with where you've been going, because these last few years, you've been led really well. You've been led well, and things have happened, and you've served well, and it looks like you've given well, and you've been generous, and you've given your hearts and your time. My goodness, this is good. So invest in that. And keep that oil going in the vision that has been there anyway of, okay, God, we're now here ready to shine brightly in this community. We're going to make those connections. What evidence of life is there among you at the moment? And I just felt, as I was thinking and praying for you, get stuck in to where the life is. Where is the life? Get stuck in there. That's where Simeon, he just went for where the life was. Led by the Spirit. It's that couple there with that baby. That's where Anna is. I'm looking for the life. I'm going to be in the temple every single day because I'm looking for the life. So look for the life. Where is the life? Is it in Alpha? Is it with the kids' work? Is it with the work among the elderly? Is it with renting out the buildings? Where's the life? What's going on? Look for it and invest in there. Give your time, give your hearts, give your prayer to the life. What's going on but needs something extra? I was privileged to be in your last church members meeting. That was an exciting thing for me. And what I heard there was quite similar, actually, to what we're going through as a church. You set the budget for next year. Assuming it was kind of based on, well, what if we had a minister from day one, and so we'll set the budget there. And there was a kind of little shortfall. We've done that this year, a big shortfall actually. We exercised a kind of faith step of, right, we're pushing out into various different new communities, and we're going to extend our budget. And I have been not waiting anxiously, just anxious all year over it. Actually, I've been really anxious. Going, oh God, please close the gap. Please help us, Lord, in what we're doing. And I know there's a kind of anxiety gap for you. I would say to you now, don't take your foot off the pedal, but actually now is the time to invest. To invest, we've got a phrase that we've been using in our church, our treasure, our talents, and our time. Invest in the things of the kingdom of heaven. Now is the time actually to go, okay, I'll think about my giving, and actually for next year, yeah, if I've not been giving, I'll give to the church regularly. I haven't changed my giving for a few years. I'm going to up my giving in order that actually you as a church are positioned really, really well for what God brings to you in the next few weeks, in the next few months, and also for a fresh vision and fresh leadership and fresh ministry in your midst. Be ready, be on the alert. Get this thing really formed. Treasure is our money, talent is our skills, our knowledge, what we can bring to this, and our time, obviously, is the time we've got that we can pour into this. You know what? I absolutely believe that God is with you as a church. I believe that you're positioned beautifully and wonderfully for the mission of the kingdom of Jesus. You really are. You've got a great bunch of people here. You've got some great servants who are leading you and guiding you. You've got great facilities, great heart. You know what? I absolutely think this is a fantastic time for you. I know it's been really painful, but I think that God is with you. And he's just looking for you to go, to be like Simeon, and to be like Anna, and to go, yeah, I'm going to position myself in prayer, in attitude, in activity, right in the heart of this. And just for you to think as well, personally, individually, like I said earlier, there's something about being in the Spirit that is a beautiful way of living. And I just want to encourage you personally to do that, to pray in the morning, maybe, to read the Bible, to make sure you read the Bible, pray, worship often, to make the most of a gathering like this in worship and say, okay, God, what are you saying to me? Work in my heart, work in my mind. I'd like to be used by you. I'd like to be in the right place at the right time. That's often been my prayer. And when I pray that, and when I take the kingdom of heaven seriously, my place in the kingdom seriously, you know what? I do often end up in the right place at the right time. And it's a great way of living. I go, oh, God, you're with me. Give me some words to say to this person. Help me serve this person here. I just love it. I come alive. That's for all of us, whatever age we are. We've got, here in this story, there's a couple of older people who are living like that. But this is for every age male and female, rich and poor. This is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Live like this. Open your eyes and see what happens. So I bless you, church, in the name of Jesus, in this waiting Advent season. I bless you. And I say, carry on in prayer, carry on in worship, carry on in fasting, reading the Bible, carry on in giving your tithes and your offerings. Be positioned. Because, yeah, the king, it's not that God is going to send some great hero on a white horse to be your minister. It's that God himself is your hero. Jesus is among you. And, of course, he will bring someone to serve you. But even as you're waiting, the kingdom of heaven will also come. So I'm going to pray for you and then hand over to David.